Let's pray in silence then. Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, let us begin the night class. Let's sing in 356. 356.
Thank you.
microphone. I like the holding. It's okay if you don't have it. When I was a little, and I always dream that I stand up on the stage, I can holding the microphone. That's like a thing. Never mind, that's okay. We talk about I am, right? I am serious. So I am the door of the ship. And then we talk about the book of, we just related this issue, so book of Hebrews chapter 12. And maybe you can question out, there's a, this guy's come here to talk about the John, but this is talking about something else. So should I have to take this note or let it go? So it's up to you, okay? It's okay, because nighttime classes, we can relax. Sundown, I can cool down, so I can just relax. Yeah, anyway. Now we can, book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23. Because you need to have confidence that you are the one who get into this door. If you don't have that confidence, then it seems like, wherever you go, it seems like a gate is everywhere. But gate is only one. Bible clearly tells us gate is only one. I'm not talking about God's mercy. I'm talking about the promise of salvation. So we have to think about this. Verse 22, but you have come to the Mount Zion, and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the mirror of angel. This is a picture of church. This is not talking about the geographical location that where there is a Jerusalem, the temple of God was built. This is talking about heavenly Jerusalem. It's talking about the church. When Jesus went up to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to those who were upper room, for about 200, when they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, we know that that's the first time when they received the Holy Spirit, and his church was established. His kingdom truly established when the Spirit of God came down. Once you look at the book of John, chapter from 14 to 16, Jesus keep on mentioning about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And once the Spirit of God come down, and do not let you to be orphaned alone, but I'll be with you. He mentioned that. The Spirit of God came down to make you peace in your life. Let your heart not to be troubled, but be courageous enough, because the Spirit of God guides you and give you peace and encouragement by the Holy Spirit. So any church, because we can say the church was established by the Holy Spirit. This one has to be sure. Nowadays, once you look at out there, many churches go out there, they say they receive the Holy Spirit. Have you seen that how they receive the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes you're interested, you can go into YouTube, you can find out. There's all the answers there. You can find out how they speak in tongue, you can find out. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongue, you can tell this is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And sometimes the people, they say they receive the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. It's a chaos. So you have a chance. You have a plenty of chance to go into the YouTube. And feel free to find out there. They are chaos. The Christian society, you can tell. I'm not trying to judge them. Remember, because I'm not. But the thing is, what they saying they received the Holy Spirit, but I don't think so. It is not a Holy Spirit. I can tell. Yeah. Now there's like those. Have you heard about the laughing spirit? Once the minister, then everybody, la la la, whatever. Have you seen that? Amazing. And then after they're laughing, but there's no point why they laugh. But when you pray, then the Spirit of God with you, the fully, you know, the fullness of Spirit guides you. That when that moment the Spirit of God gives you the joy, it's different. It's not laughing and laughing, right? There's no point in such laughing. The joy has come from substance of your heart. You can tell that the substance within you, the Spirit gives you joy. What we receive the Holy Spirit from above, this is the true Spirit. Because you can tell, I can tell. We can testify that. Some of them, they once said they're laughing, after that, they're just falling down, and then they suffer. You can tell there, you know, the YouTube, then they kind of, you know, feels the suffering in their face, you can tell. And they circle around, end up they fainted. And also the spirit there, what is a falling spirit? What can they, if it passes the touch, then, you know, the back where it's falling. If it doesn't falling, then push and falling anyway. So it can falling anyway. Either way, falling anyway. But there is no such kind of, you know, the way of the Holy Spirit. And with church, we receive the Holy Spirit. One time when I visited, the first time I visited Zambia, and we have a 2 weeks a seminar. There are two persons. They're called a pastor from the distance, about 5-6 hours distance from the bus, and a college bus. They came to visit us. So that was the first time, so I was so scared. Once I arrived in Africa, it's totally different. Different land, different world. I was scared. Everybody walk around, and it's very scary. And sometimes the little kids are following, keep on touching, it's scary. So we have a 2 week seminar, and then they joined about 3 or 4 days later, they joined us. They want to see that our church is true or not. At the beginning, they're very stern face, look around, and very, you know, very scared. So they're very, one of the brothers is very tall, so scary. And then they joined this seminar. After a few days, both of them received the Holy Spirit. After they received the Holy Spirit, they're sure, yeah, this is the true church. Actually, at the beginning, they wants to stay with us only one day. So they didn't bring any extra clothes. But they joined with the whole about 10 days, stay with us. You think about it. No extra clothes and then 10 days. But thank God, they both of them, one of them, the tall brother, he also the pastor from other denominations. And after he received the Holy Spirit, the knee, I mean, he had a problem, that a chronic problem. I mean, long time of his life, he had suffering. But that night, God healed him. In his dream, God healed him. So next morning, he testified, God healed him, and testified, this is a true church. Amazing. So we learned that, because our true church, when we go to Africa, we do not focus on the healing, but we preach the truth. So truth reveal them, this is the truth, they accept them, and God work with them. And then there is a miracle come on. We're supposed not to be deceived by the you know, kind of miracle alone. Because other denominations sometimes they happen that miracle itself, it might come from God or it might come from somewhere else too, right? So we cannot judge based upon their only miracle alone. They testify too. I'm not saying that all of them is not come from God. Maybe some of them, they're sincere enough so that God healed them. Healing and the salvation also a different issue anyway. But I'm talking about, you know, this healing alone. We cannot judge based upon because of healing. But we have to clarify, we have to discern based upon the Holy Spirit. One time, after that, Then we visit their place, their church. They call the Seventh Baptist Church, I think. That church, that the countryside. So we at that time, first time, I scared to speak, actually. So every time the pastor from UK, you preach, I say, no, you preach, I pray for you. So the first trip, mostly, he asked me, no, you preach. No, you preach, I'm behind you. So first time, because I was scared. I'm not dating, myself is not very courageous. So he mostly preach, and then I just only a little preach. But thank God, so. But I joined with him, so God gave me hopefully the enough portion of blessing to me, firstly. But anyway, because there is one speaking tongue from other denominations. He says he received the Holy Spirit. He says. So then the night after the service we pray, so we lay on to them. The one against we can see the, but our church pastor prayer. I just follow him. But after he lay on hands, I follow and lay on hands, and so everything I just follow him anyway, because I was scared. And but that person, they received the Holy Spirit from other denominations. When he came to our church, when he lay on hands, his tongue is changed. He testified. He's still with him. Second time we visited there, he became a very faithful our church brother to be. He testified. He says he received the Holy Spirit from other denominations. But once he came to our church, he received the Holy Spirit, tongue is changed. He realized this is the true tongue speaking according to the scriptures. So he testified. And then a third year I visit, at that time, the one pastor and the two deacons attend our spiritual convocation. At that time, I myself, and because we separate to visit, we have a preach a different place, and I and the one worker from there, we hold a spiritual convocation. And this is true, morning to night, we just preach. And also, we do not use the notes. That's a third year I could do that. And then second year using notes, because of the pastor from the UK trained me. So after third year, now you retire. So, no, I'm not there like you. So I still come if you ask me to come. But he said, don't come. So I didn't, after that, no more. But then, thank God he trained me. He and I, we studied together, but he's much better. He's more spiritual gift and he's more there. And thank God. Anyway, that spiritual convocation, we have a spiritual convocation. We preach, because from the beginning, I can tell these three of them, they are stunning. Their face is different. But all of them, the rest of them is our church members, so joyful. But every time when I speak to them, I look at them, and then the worker told me, so what I'm going to preach. And then he says, preach our doctrines, and we can chop them up. So we're using the word chop them up. So that's, I like the words. So okay, let's chop them up. And we start. So we talk about the doctrine issue one by one, and talk about our salvation baptism, and talk about the Holy Spirit. Eventually they come into the understanding. Their face is changed. And then we'll pray for the Holy Spirit and then lay on them. One of them, he always mentioned, I received the Holy Spirit from other denomination. We'll just lay on hand them. And then his tongue is changed. Because I testify, because I lay on him, I see that. Tongue is changed. Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome, really. That's the first time I experienced it. Other tongue changed to our tongue. It's awesome. Then I learned that our church, the one you and I, we receive the Holy Spirit. This is the true spirit. Never doubt about it. This is come from heaven. So we established by the Holy Spirit. Now our church clearly come from heavenly Jerusalem. So you need to have such confidence. the Spirit of God with you. But sometimes, because why the, you know, the Spirit of God not working mightily, it's not because of the Spirit of God, because of us. We do not have enough trust because of that. If you really trust in God, when you, if you don't have a confidence, the Spirit of God do not work with you. Remember when the Acts chapter 3, when the Paul, and the Paul, no, not Paul yet, Peter and the John, when walking in the way there, who was there? The lame beggar, asking for help, for some money actually. I do not have a gold and silver, but I have the name of Jesus Christ. Walk, pull him and he walk. That, because of the confidence, because they have experience of God. Yeah. The true church is led by the Holy Spirit, not by the money, not by our knowledge, but the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to have this confidence. I hope that we have this confidence, you and I. That God truly help us, our church, your life, and my life. So here, verse 22, heavenly Jerusalem, this is the city of living God. God is with us. And the verse 23 is the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. That's why I mentioned that the firstborn. Are you the firstborn? If you are the secondborn, it's supposed not to be here. Also, you cannot receive, you know, whole blessing. You know the Jewish, that if you are the firstborn, you get the double portions. But thank God, you know, now, you know, we don't have a such kind of system. Some of you are not the first one, right? We don't have that kind of thing. So we are in a modern society. So my mom and daddy give us the equal amount, no matter first and second ones. But I'm talking about the spiritual now. We go back to spiritual, firstborn. It is important. You and I, the firstborn. You know, when the Bible starts beginning with the firstborn story. Firstborn story. This is part of the book of John, you know. We can finish the book of John by 1 hour anyway. Because last hour we summarized everything to 1 hour, that's it. We'll finish the book of John. The firstborn is such a precious in the Bible. Firstborn is a actually the Bible history is a whole firstborn history. You know that? Yeah. Well, for example, look at the Abraham. God blessed Abraham. You know, Genesis chapter 12, right? He blessed him. But blessing is through his son. The blessing goes through the Abraham, but ultimately it goes to his son. But the first one, the one a promised one. You think so? But remember when he was 75 years, when he moved into the land of Canaan, and he waiting for his promise. But God doesn't allow him to promise. Bible doesn't say every year show up to Abraham, be strong, be strong. I'll give you a son, I'll give you a son. Next year show up, I'll give you a son, I'll give. Bible doesn't say that, right? He wait and wait. God doesn't answer. There's nothing happen, I think. He waiting for many years. But the ninth year, he changed his mind, right? He listened from his wife so that he got a son, Ishmael. That's a human's idea. But it didn't work. God said, not him. Even later when their age is 99, they say they cannot have their own children. Because they don't have any, they cannot have a child, which is their no capacity. They cannot have children. At that time, the next year, this time, you can have a son. At that time, Sarah laughed at, oh no, we can. I know I cannot have a child. But in the manner of God, you laugh. You laugh means you do not trust in God's word. Exactly. But they have a son next year, truly at that time. That's Isaac. That's a promised son. It's not come from man. Remember, the first one not come from man. The first one, actually the human way of first one is not the Isaac, right? Ishmael. Even Abraham, he think that, I cannot have children anymore, so Ishmael will be the, my successors. That's Abraham's idea, actually. But God says no. God says no. The promised one, the first one, according to my promise, it happened to you in your life. So when he's 100 years old, he got a son. Truly, that is the one, the firstborn. So remember, firstborn is not according to the Abraham's idea. It's God's idea. Remember when after that Isaac had two children, the twin one? You know that, right? Esau and Jacob. But God clearly tell them, who's the one to be the promised one? Second one. But yet, Isaac didn't approve that. If you look at the Bible, Isaac didn't approve that one. Remember when Isaac wants to bless them? Actually, Isaac has intention to bless the first one, Esau. Do you remember the story? But who's the one who received the blessing? Jacob. This is God's way, not the Isaac way. Isaac actually intention to bless the first one, but God says, no, this is not the way. Second one has to be received the blessing. So, you remember, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, this line of the firstborn line is not based on even themselves, based on God. Firstborn, based on God. Later on, you know, because the Judah, the tribe of Judah become the firstborn to be. So the Jesus come through the Judah and the tribes of Judah. This is also came from God. When Jacob blesses the 12 sons, the blessing is not, it's his mouth, yet all this blessing come from God. So the firstborn, remember, it's not from man, it's come from God. The Bible tells us. And also, remember when they moved to Egypt, and then after they then 430 years, they're coming, right, coming out of Egypt. God sent the ten punishment. You know, that just try to bother them, and you know, because last time I memorized all 10 of them, but now I forgot. It just confused all 10 of them in my mind. So anyway, 10 of them. We know the last one, because this one's important. Last one required faith, right? Because all the firstborn, God trying to kill all the firstborn. Anybody have no faith, even include Israelites. Until the ninth one, all the ninth plague so far, God just came down upon this punishment upon the Egyptians, not Israelites. So God every time saved his people, and then showing the glory of God there. But tenth one is different. All the firstborns. Regardless Israelites, or Egyptians, anybody who do not kill the lamb and then do not apply the blood of the lamb to the doorpost, and God trying to kill them all. Remember, right? This is the firstborn. So what happened is those who apply the blood of Jesus, in Old Testament, it's a lamb of the blood of lamb. And then the angel come, stop, and then look at the blood, and then pass over. This is the Passover. Passover, that's why it's so precious. Jesus came to this world as a lamb of the Passover, remember? This is the relationship of the firstborn. Because we are the firstborn that we avoid. Waived his punishment, yet overpass us, which is to save our life by the blood of the Lamb, actually. Lamb of God. So the Lamb of God, you know, this concept is continuations until the book of Revelation. If you read the book of Revelations, there is many times mentioned that the throne of Lamb of God. So Jesus himself is the one, the center of the Lamb of God. He himself. So God himself, Jesus himself, Lamb of God. So it is it's such a precious. You are the firstborn, and we are the firstborn. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 13. Because when I look at you, I cannot see you. Do you know that? This is a magnifying glass. So, Exodus 13, verse 2. This verse is okay. Exodus 13 verse 2 says, "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the son of Israel, both of man and the beast. It belongs to me." Here chapter 13 verse 2 says, every firstborn, it belongs to God. Every firstborn. So we belongs to God. If you are the firstborn, then you belongs to God. We are the chosen race as the first to be firstborn. We are all applied by the blood of Jesus Christ, so we become a firstborn. But this is the blessing of God. It makes you to understand, because. We need to have this confidence. I'm the firstborn. I have a firstborn. I'm the firstborn. So that's why I myself inherit the kingdom of God. Firstborn. Talk about the firstborn. Firstborn, yes. Because your name is written in the book of life. Is it true? So once you look at the Hebrew chapter 12, verse 23, General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Your name has to be enrolled in heaven. Your name has to be enrolled. Enrolled in heaven is your firstborn. Your name is written in the book of life, which means enrolled in heaven. So make sure, because your way is get into this door. Otherwise, you have no confidence then. Let's look at something I'm missing. That's why I just keep on stay here. Never mind. It's okay. Galatians. Let's do Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse from 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Now you understand that here means all sons of God. This all sons of God is firstborn. Now you understand this? All sons of God. Through faith in Christ Jesus. 27. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have closed yourself with the Christ." Which means you apply by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the Lamb of God, the one sacrificed who carried our sins. You applied his blood upon us. So then you are the one, the sons of God, which means the firstborn. 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Regardless of who you are, once you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood of God, the Lamb of God apply in your life, that you are sons of God, which means the firstborn. Why? We'll continue. We'll look at 29. "And if you belong to Christ," do you agree that if you belong to Christ means? Exodus chapter 13, remember? All the firstborn belongs to God. Right? So, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. That means that you receive the inheritance. Usually the firstborn receive the inheritance generation after generation. It is according to the God's way. We come from the promise. Our inheritance, a promise of God. When you read this scripture, you know, the Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, we read many times, I'm sure. Do you think it's more clear for this verse 26, 29? Say more? Never mind, but so sure, we are getting into the true door of salvation, the door of ship. So I hope you need to have this confidence. I am the firstborn. You know, Galatians chapter 3, here mentioned about the, you know, the compare, chapter 4, compare the two women, right? Two covenants talking about. But anyway, this is the same concept anyway. Bound woman or free woman, you know, mentioned about that. So hope that we are true understanding of, we have confidence about our salvation, about our church. And also your name is written in the book of life. This is the most important thing. There's no such thing to compare with this, that your name is written in the book of life. As long as your name is written in the book of life, you can have salvation. There's no condemnation because you become a children of God. Anybody afraid on the last day you are under the judgment of God? Do you think God forgive your sin? I just ask you. This is really tough. Do you have a confidence that as a children of God, what do you think? You're scared about your father because your father going to judge on the last day? I ask you, when you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, your past sin is forgiven, right? Your original sin was forgiven too, right? How about your future sins? Tomorrow's sins, after tomorrow, what do you think? Because this is an issue that you can rejoice always. Otherwise, you cannot be rejoiced. Otherwise, your life to be very scary. Be scary all the time. Of course, we can our salvation accomplished. I mean, our salvation with the work, but this is not a work, but this is submission, and with a trembling heart. But the fear, it's not a negative fear, but positive fear. So we have to define it. But afraid is a different issue. Many times a fly likes my hair. I think quite smelly anyway. But it's okay. I go to heaven, then it's okay. Because our older sin, your future sin also be forgiven, remember. If you do not have that confidence, then you have a trouble. Otherwise, I want to baptize on the last day before I die. Because of course, nobody knows. Who knows? I'm dying tomorrow. Then I baptize today. Then only one day sin, I say, it's okay. Doesn't bother me to go to heaven then. Once you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus died once for all. Remember in the book of Hebrew, chapter 9, 10, 11, they mentioned that. Right? Because when our sin is forgiven, totally, which means our past, our future. Otherwise, every year, you know, the high priest get into the holy and holy place for forgiveness of our sin, the Day of Atonement. Then you study the book of Leviticus, right? The Day of Atonement, they go in, the high priest go inside of the holy and holy place for the sprinkling the animal's blood on the top of the mercy seat, and then forgive all the Israelites' sin, which means every year basis. So sin is just washed away every year. So the high priest have to go in every year with the true trembling. These high priests, who knows, wants to go into the holy and holy place, die. That even high priest can die there. That's why there's a string with the bell, right? The outside, the holy. Once the high priest go in inside of the holy and holy place, only the string itself makes sense. So the inside of the holy and holy place, no sound, no bell sounds means high priest is death inside. You want to go into the holy and holy place, then you died. What are you going to do? Or leave the body there for the 10 days, 20 days? So only way does the string pull him out, if he died there. No one can go in. Only high priest go in there once a year, bring the blood for the forgiveness of his people once a year. That's how the Israelites, they forgive their sins. That's why after this instance happened, and then Israelites, they rejoice. So the last the festival is the feast of the 10th of Booth. So because these people rejoice, the last ones, all the people rejoice because their sin is forgiven. Also, they gather all the outside of the grain to bring into the barns. Then they remember how much they received the blessing of God. Their sin is forgiven, and then they receive the blessing from the field, so they rejoice 7 days. Well, that's the feast. Yeah. Now, so thank God we get into the door of Shiv. Now we go to the. Why I mentioned it? Because of sin. Our sin is forgiven. Remember, our sin is forgiven. So once you become a firstborn, that means your name is written in the book of life. Then this is not a issue. We stand in front of the throne of God. But this is not for the judgment. Remember, this is not for the judgment. Yeah. Let's look at the book of John. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believe him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. We become a children of God. But we need to have this confidence. You feel that you have a sin with you, you can come to God. You can repent. Because 1 John chapter 1 says, no one ever can say that we are no sin, but we all are sinners. But we come to God, we ask, we repent. And our sin all forgiven. Yeah. But of course, because of what, the 1 Corinthians mentioned about that, and also the 1 Peter mentioned about the judgments. Because 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 said, for it is the time for the judgment to begin with the household of God. This judgment is talking about the judgment that during the time the church is here in this world. It's not that this is not the judgment that on the last day judgments. It makes sense? Because once we resurrect from the death, there's no physical church, the church as in this world. Do you know what I mean? Because we resurrect from the death. Now only the church in the kingdom of God. There is only the direction after that is you. Once you hear the voice and you resurrect from the death, you know where you're going already. Do you know what I mean? After that, you know. You don't have to ask anybody. Do you think I go to heaven? You don't have to ask because you know what kind of resurrection that you have, your forms. That's why the book of John chapter 5 verse 28, 29. And do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth, these who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who commit the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Clear when they resurrect from the dead, their destiny is determined already. Usually ultimate our destiny determined when we die the moment, right? Jesus mentioned that, you know, the rich man and the Lazarus, remember? Once they die, they go directly their place, their own place, where they belongs to, right? And also Jesus died on the cross, he mentioned that today you'll be in paradise with me. That destiny already destined that person, that the next one to Jesus when he died. You know? So, but paradise is not a place where's a form, but the soul can go there for the rest until his second coming. Yeah. So here, John 5 verse 20, 29, and the last day, when he is a second coming, when you hear his voice, that means this is the time that he's second coming. Then we resurrect from the death. We can receive him. So the coming, here's a second coming. Here's a second coming is a spiritual coming. Not the first one like a flesh himself come to this world. He's a second coming is coming as a king of king, which means not flesh. It makes sense to you? Otherwise, Jesus coming here during the daytime here. How about the other side? They are nighttime. How they can see the Jesus? Because they're coming here. His second coming is spiritual. Have you noticed that when even the one who peers Jesus can see it? No reaction. No reaction. I think you pray a lot, so that's why. That's okay, never mind. And then we go to the book of John. So we have a first one, first and second, and then how about third one? Oh, we did it. Fourth one? Not the resurrection, but before, I'm a good shepherd, right? Good shepherd died for the sheep. Dedication. Jesus showed his love. Because in John chapter 1, you study about the word, right? The Logos, word. The word. One time I have to be very careful to I say I love you to my wife. Because sometimes the I love you itself become an empty word. Then my wife challenged me. So after finish the meal, I sit down on the table, dining table, and then I say, I love you. And then he said, while he washing the dishes, show me your love. Oh, right, I have to come to help. So I sit down on the dining table, I say, oh, you better not to say. Yeah. So after she finished the dishwasher, and I have to say, oh, I love you then, that's okay. But while then I have to help her. I have to show my words, the truth. It's a word. You think about the word itself. If Bible doesn't relate with us, this Bible is nothing. It's so heavy. Of course, now you have electronic Bible. It's not that heavy like this, but I like this Bible. I like to somehow weight, then I can feel the word of God. But, word. Because each word... Word is not just sound, it's a meaning. Is it true? What is meaning? In the beginning was word. The word was with God, right? The word is God. So once you look at this word, the word is not just a bring into the air. Which is not related with us, then this word is nothing. That's true. Because book of John chapter 1 explained to us this word is related with us. Because this word has just truly come to us. And this word is the love of God. John is trying to explain to us. So in the beginning was word. There's a God's intentions. And also word means Jesus, no matter how wonderful word, he says something. Yet if we are not existing in this word is no meaning at all. Is it true? The word, Jesus say, I love you. But if we are not here, then he said, I love you means nothing. Do you know what I mean? It's not related with us because we are not existing anymore. I mean, we are not exist. So the I love you means nothing. But word is a meaning when we have, when he and I, there's a relationship. Then there's this word as a power. Yeah. Same like, you know, when I say, I love you, TJ say, I love you, come on. And then when your parents say, I love you, it's different. Same words, I love you, but it's different weight. If God says, I love you, then it's different. It's more than what our parents says, more than anybody else in this world says. Because God says so. And also this word related with us. And because there's a relationship. So the word, the chapter 1 of what verse 8? Word become flesh. Expresses this true love of God. He's showing us this love. Support this word is true with us. So the word of God is so blessed. Because there's a salvation, there's a relationship with us. That's why the word is precious to us. Because I talk about the I am, you know, I am the I am the good shepherd. I'm talking about, because I am the good shepherd, I'm talking about I'm the good shepherd, because he shows the true love. He become, the word become flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14. This is showing us he willing to die for us. This means. I mentioned that in the book of John at the beginning, I mentioned it, right? Jesus, he do not come to this world to judge us, but to save us. John chapter 3, he mentioned it, right? John chapter 3, verse 16, 17, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. The word become flesh is one purpose for the salvation, not the purpose of judgment. So when you read the book of John, you can tell the other messages. He came, to, you know, the judgment upon now the Father, this authority of judgment give it to the Son. Also, he came to this world to judge. There's a two-sided coin. Because I'm trying to explain this one to you. The one is that when the word become flesh, only one purpose. Come here for the Savior, for the salvation. But what he speak out, the word of God out of his mouth, is become a judgment. Because the word, the preceded mouth of Jesus Christ, is the word is belongs to spirit. So it becomes a judgment. If anybody do not subject, anybody do not submit to the word of God, they receive upon the judgment of God. It's not Jesus himself. He came to this world for the salvation. He is not coming to this world to judge others, but for the salvation. Save us. But his word is different. His word is come from heaven, from his Father, to speak out, to let the people to believe in him. If anybody do not believe, it becomes their own judgment. It makes sense now? So once you read the book of John, there's a two points when you see it. Clarify that. Jesus not a two personality, okay? He's one. But yet, when he is his point from the, he's a, the one who become flesh, or what he talked about his messages, the precede his mouth that he given from his Father, is different. It's clear out there, the book of John, when you read. So you don't have to be confused about these two issues. I mean, this issue. 8:30. We have I am the good shepherd. You know, I'm the good shepherd, right? But anyway, it's all related anyway. I know it's very hard to take the note because this guy's here and there. So what he talk about, you know, just it's so confused. But it's okay because you anyway, we cannot finish the book of John anyway. It doesn't mean that I have a two personality because like 1 hour is enough to finish. One says, the other one says, we cannot finish the book of John. But I just trying to help you, let you to read the book of John later and then let you to understand. Because it's not just we just discover everything. Otherwise, because I studied the book of John when I joined the TTP, whole month, we studied the book of John. It takes a whole month, every day, 4 hours, every day. Four hours, whole month. Of course, except the Sunday, you know, the Saturday, Sunday, but four weeks. Pastor Cole gave a lot of homework for this. If I say go back, oh, no, it's okay, never mind. But this whole month we studied it. Just go everywhere. It's a lot of inspirations. It's different, surely different than the rest of the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But once you read the book of John, the Trinity believers also read the book of John to prove they are their trinities. But we also read the book of John, prove there's a one God. That's amazing. Thank God. Have you noticed in the book of John, there's a John. Let's look at the one verse, chapter 10. You just think about it. This one, because we have to finish by now, so this is not talking about the I am. I am, we can continue anyway. And John chapter 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. And John chapter 14, verse 28, the Father is greater than I. Should I have to believe in Trinity? Because the Father is greater than I. So there's a difference. You have to think about it. And also, once you read the book of John, I mentioned that there's a two dimension. Because tomorrow I draw here, so you can see that. This one, we don't have to be confused by this word. Jesus himself, the one who the word become flesh, God himself. So Jesus is a perfect God, perfect man. Remember, he's a perfect God and perfect man. When he came to this world, a perfect man, the one who died on the cross. But the perfect God is the one who to speak out, preach to the people, you know, let them to believe, otherwise they're under the judgment of God. So there's a two side. So once we understand that book of John is very easily can deal with that. Until 40, right? Oh, yes, I thought it's 30. So, any questions so far? If you have any questions, just go ahead. You don't have any questions? Okay, we can go to I am then. I am the good shepherd. Yeah. In a sense, a good shepherd. I want to be a good shepherd, but not yet. Maybe I still have to more myself to be dedicate myself more. Myself. I try myself. Well, I hope that you and I we all become a good shepherd. I mean, yeah. In a sense, you are a shepherd too. When you go home, go to your local church. You have your, RE class, your teachers, and remember they are your sheep. They need your help, And so when you prepare your material, don't just simply just, you know, knowledge-wise, give them inspirations. If you are a teacher, it's not we sending the knowledge, but inspirations. Once there's no inspirations, then the knowledge itself to be just very dry. I myself also struggle also. Sometimes it happens. But we try to do our best. Be a good shepherd ourselves. Good shepherd, after that we have one, two. Fifth one? Now we go to fifth one? Yeah, fifth one. Fifth one is what? Which one is it? I'm the resurrection and the life, right? The resurrection and the life. God has the power to, on the last day, we can resurrect from the death. Really wonderful, because it is a blessing of God. Let's look at the one verse. But of course, because we can, if we have time, that we can continue to go on this. But 2 Corinthians chapter, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Therefore we do not lose a heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparisons. 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's a blessing that on the last day we can resurrect from the death. And you know, Romans chapter 6, you know, we die with him, and also we resurrect on the last day by him. So we have an eternal hope and the resurrection on the last day. I'm sure, because on the last day of the resurrection is wonderful. Every time I look at the, you know, Olympic, that I see that there's all trained, the great people, and one. Sometimes I think, wow, what if I myself, like a Bolt, I can have a finish by within 10 seconds, you know, 100 meters. How come my legs so short and so I cannot make it? And also I think about, because so they are so put heavy things. Lift up, and that's impossible. When you go to gym, I can tell some of them, I just only holding is 10 pounds, or somebody next to 50 pounds. Then I look at myself and just be able to leave. How comes I don't have a muscle? And also, I run in the circle, one circle, and then they just circle the 10 times. Why my lung is not that much strong enough? Everything is I'm weak. But I have a hope on the last day. I'll be better than them. Also, God will bless me, so he will make my eyes bigger than now. I know that, so I'm blessings. So it is eternal hope. We can have an eternal hope on the last day, the resurrections. And the last day, I don't need these glasses. Right, how wonderful it is. Most of your glasses, right? We don't need this. We don't have to go to, you know, the glass store, they can keep on paying them that we can have these glasses. How wonderful it is that. Another thing is, once you resurrect from the dead, I don't have to go to the restroom. Oh, that's a big issue. It is a blessing of God. But it's resurrection, sir. And also, another thing is, at this moment, once you look at the, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. At that time, the Mary, actually Jesus testing him. I mean, he challenged him. I mean, not the Mary, not man, but woman. He challenged her, Mary. Your faith. I know. You have a faith on the last day. Oh, you know, you can resurrect from the dead. You believe that. But your faith has to be now, at this moment, so that you can see the glory of God. Sometimes our faith is limited. Yes, we believe on the last day with resurrection, on our resurrection from the death. Yet, how about at this moment now? What is your faith now? Can you believe that if God is working with us? That's why if you have a little bit, your faith is a little mustard seed. If you have faith, you can move the mountain from here to here. Have you ever heard about anybody move the mountain so far? No one moved any mountain yet, but we can move the mountain. Doesn't mean that with physical mountain from here to here. Don't test yourself. You go to the any your countryside and God says there's a mountain here. Then nobody here, nobody here. Say, move this mountain to here. Don't do that, okay? This mountain never move. You're talking about this mountain moving is God can do everything. You need to have this confidence at this moment. We're talking about that. You know, Jesus, you know, we look at the fig tree and if you go there and find out there's no any bear, any figs. He just cursed this tree. And then the wither from the, not from the top, right? From the bottom. Showing that his faith. Because he believed that, showing that this is a true faith. If we have a faith, God can work with us. In the United States, it's quite big. We have 50 states. And now, because of your generation, I hope that your generation is a more strong faith than we have. So that this whole country, within our hands, you can pray. I don't have that much guts, but you have guts. Because many times I go in front of many the American, those who speak English, then I say, I'm scared actually, because my English is Konglish. So I'm scared actually, those who speak English. True. But for you have no problem, you know. You can speak to them. You need to have a courageous heart and pray to God. I like the hold the whole United States, holding in your hands. Pray to God. Please, that your salvations, your gospel of salvation to be preached. You know that you have a confidence? If you come from the Canada, you pray, you're holding the whole Canada. It's smaller than United States. You can holding them in your one hand even. You can pray to God. God give them. Be courageous. Just like Joshua. In the chapter 1 says, be courageous. I'll be with you. God truly be with him. Spirit of God within us. If you have this hope, if you have this faith, God work with you. I believe so. God work with you. Now, because we have passing through this, our generation, now to the like a transition. Yeah? Because I myself as a first generation, but you are second generation here. Mostly, most of you. If God is with you, you can do it. You can do it. We have to finish now. Sorry. Now we can pray to God. And we can continue. We have a few more days to go. The marathoner is usually first. I heard that the first. How many miles they run? The race? 20 some miles, right? Have you ever anybody who finished this this marathon for whole course? Anybody? Any your town marathon you joined there? I don't want to join there anyway from the beginning, but spiritually, we are in the join this 2 weeks of marathon, so we have now a few days. You can see the goal. I hope that these 2 weeks you can learn something that into your commitments, your determination, so that it helps you not only as a knowledge, but becomes a part of your life. So that it becomes truly become not just a hearer, but become a doer. God surely be with you then. And these whole 2 weeks become a truly benefit to your life as a Christian. So we can pray together about 20. We can come forward, pray together. Is that?